Sam Phillips on behalf of the informant, Your Honor. May it please the court?
Yes, it does. Go
ahead. Mr. Siebold. About a year and a half ago, Mr. Siebold pled guilty to his third DWI in 4 years. His last DWI, by operation of statute, was a felony. At the time of those, his last two DWIs, he was asleep at the wheel and so drunk that he didn't know that he was driving. Fortunately, no one was injured, but the potential for tragedy is obvious. His felony led to this case, brought under Rule 5.21, which allows the court to discipline lawyers convicted of any felony and certain misdemeanors upon notice of those facts without further process. When we filed this case, we initially asked, when we filed it under that rule, we initially asked for an indefinite suspension with no leave to apply for at least, for reinstatement for at least 6 months.
How would that affect the how would it affect his drunk driving? Would it stop him from driving more because he's not employed, or what's the nexus between a DWI and his practice of law? Does he drive less? Would it be less of a safety hazard because he's not driving?
Here's how I think, Your Honor, and here's how I think the alcoholism professionals and substance abuse professionals would say it. This court, with a lawyer, has the greatest chance to enable or the greatest chance to deter future misconduct. It's that simple. If this system says it's not that bad, then he's committed to stop drinking, but if we tell him you can't drink or you'll lose your license, then that will have an impact. I'm convinced of it. And I think I'm sure that's what the professionals would tell us.
Does Mr. Siebold now agree with that discipline level in light of what
his Yes, Your Honor. Initially, he did not agree with it. Recently, after we filed our reply brief, he acknowledged that the Stewart case is an appropriate analysis, and that he now agrees with, as I understand it, the analysis that unless he acknowledges that he should be held accountable for it, that in fact he that at least that analysis is appropriate.
But the discipline that was imposed in Stewart, does he agree with that? Or we'll ask Mr. Spence.
Yeah,
that's fine. I mean, it's your understanding that you all are now in agreement with that?
Or yes, I think the issues are the same. I think the positions are different.
Okay.
Right. Then at the time of the pleadings.
Is there any difference? Is there any mitigating factors in this case that differ from what was present in Stewart?
I don't think so. I think here's what you found in Stewart. The mitigation included remorse, limited disciplinary history. Stewart had one admonition. Mr. Siebold has none. But so neither one, a lot of discipline. Both, I think, are clearly remorseful. Both struggle with alcoholism. Both have a commitment to sobriety by the time they're here today. Extensive treatment for it, and as far as I know, compliance with the criminal probation. So that's what was found in Stewart. I think those apply here as well.
In cases dealing with felonies other than alcohol, we often impose a much stiffer sanction. Do you think that if it's misappropriation, for instance, or that kind of felony?
Sure. I mean, anytime I think there's dishonesty involved, I think the court probably, the system has a greater responsibility both to protect the public.
But it's your view that here it's a where the attorney is working on dealing with the situation and dealing with the medical situation that led to this, that a different sanction is appropriate?
Yes.
A lesser sanction?
You're right. I think an actual suspension, should we have hard and fast rules? Maybe not. But an actual suspension is probably appropriate in any felony. Maybe there are cases where we'll come up here and say something different. But for the most part, I don't see how we can have less because of the need to protect the integrity of the profession, not because of public protection from certain misconduct by the lawyer, but because one of the two reasons that we have this discipline system is to show that we will do self-policing and we will protect. If some lawyer embarrasses the profession, the court will hold them accountable.
By the time of disposition, how long had Stewart been sober?
I was thinking it may have been longer than this. I don't really recall. Here we have a year and a half to 2 years, as I think, and I thought it was in that range as well. But I
wasn't able to determine that from looking at it.
From the record, from the decision.
From what we have here.
Between a year and a half to 2 years, I believe.
Stewart was?
No, I'm sorry, this one. Yes, this Mr. Seabold's case.
I'm asking about Stewart. How long, if we're using the Stewart case as precedent, how long was he sober by the time he came down?
I think it was in that range. I do. I mean, we almost have to have that long by the time these cases come to the court often. But it may not have been quite that long. I just don't recall. It probably is in the record in the Stewart case. I mean, if the court wanted to take judicial notice of the briefing and such in that case, it probably is there. We think the court got it right in Stewart, that is an appropriate sanction, that we have to have some sort of actual suspension to protect the integrity of the profession. I think when we do that, we actually enhance the public's view of the rule of law as well. I mean, because they look at us and how we handle our own problems, and when we handle them when holding people accountable, then I think the rule of law is enhanced. If the court is interested in something like probation, I hope we get a chance to submit recommendations for conditions for probation. And at the time of Mr. Seabold's reinstatement, if he is actually suspended, then I hope we get a chance to suggest conditions for being under probation, for instance, at that time, what kind of conditions we would ask for. But we think it's best for respondent and best for the system's obligation to protect the public to impose an actual suspension in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Your Honor. In this matter, I want to apologize. Unfortunately, yesterday I had a crown fall off my tooth. It's very embarrassing. It makes me talk with a slight lisp. I apologize. It's hard to understand me.
We've all had similar situations. You would proceed.
Concede to the arguments the counsel made. I'm not looking for special treatment.
Do you agree with the discipline?
I agree with the recommended discipline. I am not looking for special treatment. I was not trying to waste the court's time with my briefs. From my perspective, I more or less fell apart after a divorce. Basically, drinking was not a part of my life for the vast majority of my life. I took it up with a vengeance after a divorce and was trying to make a comeback. I think I'm a day late and a dollar short, unfortunately. I appreciate that somebody could have been hurt or killed in what I did. I'm remorseful about that. Unfortunately, there's not too much I can do about it. Thank God nobody was hurt or killed. I guess if there's one thing, the allegation of dishonesty in the rule that's written in the rule, I find unnecessarily hurtful. I don't think that anybody's accused me of dishonesty.
Your alcoholism has not affected any of your work for your clients?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
You never appeared in court? Alcohol?
No.
And there's no pending disciplinary actions or complaints that you're aware of by clients?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
How are you managing? Our concern obviously is going forward and making sure the public and future clients are protected. Do you have systems in place to make sure you don't have a relapse?
Your Honor, my employer has been very, very generous with me, and he understood my problem. He's worked with me. To protect embarrassment to my client, I resigned from my firm about possibly 1 month ago and withdrew from all active cases. I was anticipating a suspension, so I don't currently have any active clients, pending the outcome of this proceeding. But again, I understand the precedent that was set down in Stewart, and I concede to the arguments made by counsel. When I read counsel's reply brief, it kind of brought me to the realization that basically my whole argument, my respondent's brief, was the devil made me do it, and that seems like kind of a silly argument to begin with. So Again, I withdraw that, and I concede to the arguments made by the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel.
Well, do you have anything more to add?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'd ask the court to consider again the two purposes of discipline, as this court has held for a long time. And protection of the public is one of them, but the other one is the maintenance of the integrity of the profession. And sometimes that's what we have to, that's our reason. Even if no clients have ever been hurt, we still have, I think the system still has an obligation to protect that reputation. Thank you.
Well stated, Mr. Phillips. Thank you. And we'll hear the next case. This case will be taken under submission.